Blog Talk Radio.
Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Truth, I'm Dave. This is Monday night. It's March 25th, and we've got a show tonight. We've got Pam Fichter from Missouri Right to Life. She's going to talk to us about a recent MOSIRA ruling by the court and where we go from here. And then we're going to continue in the second hour with our ongoing debate about Missouri right to work. We're talking about right to life and right to work. And that's pretty much where we're going. You know, I was walking my dog today, and I was thinking of this song, this crazy song from when we were kids. Hello, mudder, hello, fodder. You know, the Camp Granada song where the kid just hates where he's at. And I couldn't help but think, if you are over 50 years old, you woke up sometime in the last 4 years in a whole different world than what you knew. The United States of America is gone, and you are in a different place. It just is amazing to me that if you are a youngster in the United States today, you have no clue what America is or stands for. You're not being taught in the school. You're not being taught by your parents. You're not being taught by society. You're not being taught by TV. You're not being taught by anyone what America is. It is about liberty, and it is about liberty first and foremost, liberty from government tyranny. And we've lost that. We've come to a place where the government rules everything. My God, you know, in New York now, They regulate sugar, they regulate soft drinks, they regulate cigarettes, they regulate fat. They regulate salt, they regulate baby formula. In the hospitals, they have to lock up the baby formula and make the mother ask for it to encourage the delivery of breast milk. If the mother doesn't want to breastfeed, they have a breast milk depository that they can draw breast milk from. And the mother has to ask every time she feeds her baby if she wants formula. In a restaurant, they hide the salt shakers and you have to ask for salt. It's crazy. You know, I read a quote, a favorite quote on one of my friend's Facebook pages here not long ago. I don't remember who it was, but it went something like, you know, it basically talked about us having come to the point where if you are a person who believes in the Constitution and believes in liberty, you've become a danger to America. And it's like that. You know, I have a beautiful wife, if you're listening out there, government. I have a beautiful wife. She's a traditional woman. She'd rather have a blender than a piece of jewelry for Mother's Day. And she is apolitical. She's never voted in her life. She doesn't care what you're doing. So when you send the drones, get my car on the highway, okay? Leave my wife alone. She's no danger to you. Just find my car on a highway somewhere when you send the drones and don't kill my wife. That's all I ask of you, please. We got a phone call, and I think it's our first guest, but I'm not sure. Let's see. Hey, it's Dave. Who's this?
Hi, this is Pam Sister with Missouri Right to Life.
Hi, Pam. How are you? We've been waiting for you. What's new?
Oh, well, where to start? That's a pretty open-ended question. You got 3 hours to give me instead of just one?
Well, I got two. You're welcome to all of it if you want it. Pam, you are the president, if I'm not mistaken, of Missouri Right to Life. Pam and I have never met before. You listeners know that we've dealt several times now with Dave Plemons, who's part of Missouri Right to Life. He was busy tonight. I wanted to talk about this Mosaira thing. Dave was busy, so he turned me on to Pam, and she's going to be here. You are the president, right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm state president.
Okay. Well, a state president of Missouri Right to Life. I'm supposing that there's not a national president of Missouri Right to Life since it has Missouri in its name.
That's right. We are the only Missouri affiliate of National Right to Life. But yes, there's only one Missouri Right to Life.
So you're the top dog or doggess?
I guess so. The head cheese is my
right. There you go.
One of my boys says, yeah.
The official title is head cheese of Missouri Right to Life.
Okay. Actually, you know, I'm blessed to be part of an organization that we have a state board, and we have wonderful people like Dave throughout the state who are my partners in this effort, and there's really no head of it. If there's any head of Missouri Right to Life, it's our Lord and Savior. You know, everything we do because of our faith and because we feel that we are called to protect innocent unborn children.
Okay. So, But let's be clear, Right to Life is not necessarily – there are people who are not part of, quote-unquote, the faith who also believe that life is sacred.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the life issue can be debated on many, many levels. Certainly, people who have come to this as a matter of faith, you know, they feel very strongly about it. But you can come to this from a matter of science, from natural law. You know, it just simply makes no sense to destroy – unborn children if the human race is going to survive.
Okay, there you go. And I want to reach out to the callers tonight, 347-677-1835. That's 347-677-1835 if you want to join in on this. Pam, Dave and I went to school together, by the way. He's a bit younger than me, high school. And
uh-huh.
I didn't know him, but I was very, very familiar with his older sister. I didn't realize the first time he contacted me that he was her brother. But yeah, we go way back, without knowing it. Anyway, so when Dave and I last talked, it was just after the primaries. And I believe down here in our part of the state, some fellow had actually, gained quite a bit of paper press by claiming that Missouri Right to Life had bounced him out of the state house, and I had talked to him the night before and heard his side of the story, and then we had Dave on the next time, and we heard your side of the story, and it was all over this Mosaira thing. So give us a little history to remind us about what Mosaira was then and became.
Well, Mosaira it's an acronym for the Missouri Science Investment and Research Act, and what it did was it set up a funding mechanism of taxpayer money that could go to life science research businesses and biotech businesses and pharmaceutical research. And Missouri Right to Life, we are not opposed to research. We're not opposed to finding cures and treatments. But we do want to make sure that research and those cures and treatments are not done at the risk of the lives of human beings. And so what we had attempted to do was to insert language in the Mosaira Act, which we had been successful and getting into Missouri statute in other areas, but didn't apply to this new stream of funding that would have prevented any of the money from OSIRA from being used for unethical research or destruction of human life in any way. And we were not successful. This was during the 2011 legislative session. We were not successful in getting this one clause into the OSIRA bill. It did not pass during the regular session, but it was brought up during special session, and it passed then.
Okay, and then you were not successful in getting the amendment, but then there's this House bill that did pass, you did get a provision in there, am I wrong?
The OSIRA was tied to a larger economic development package during the regular session. It was tied to what your listeners might recall legislation that was called the Airtropolis or the China Hub Bill,
right?
Which again set up some tax credits to be used to set up importing and tax credits for businesses that would be doing business with China. So those two things were tied together. And during the end of the legislative session, the legislators decided to divide those two bills, and basically it was an effort to divide the opposition, because primarily the pro-life people opposed the OSIRA bill without pro-life protective language, and a lot of conservatives and a lot of Tea Party conservatives, and I hate to use that label, but not that I don't support the philosophy, but I think sometimes the labels detract from the overall organization. But let's just say the fiscal conservatives objected to the Airtropolis bill. So the legislators decided to divide that economic development package into two different parts. One was OSIRA and the other was the Airtropolis. Now, they did not pass during the regular session. So the governor who also supported this, the Democrat governor and the Republican leadership in both houses, both wanted these economic development bills to go through, so they came up in special session. The OSIRA bill passed, but the China Hub or Airtropolis bill did not. The OSIRA bill was Senate Bill 7, and the Airtropolis bill was Senate Bill 8. Now, in order to encourage people from that supported Airtropolis and not necessarily OSIRA and vice versa, the legislators tied the two bills together during the special session. And the language of the bills said that they could not be enacted unless the other bill passed.
Right.
So, they were trying to get those who supported Airtropolis and not necessarily to vote for OSIRA to vote for OSIRA, because Airtropolis couldn't pass be enacted without it, and vice versa. So what happened was OSIRA passed, the Airtropolis bill did not pass, and yet the governor still announced his intent to enact OSIRA, even though the language of the bill clearly stated it could not be enacted. So that's why Missouri Right to Life and various citizens of Missouri, Lawyers for Life, Missouri Roundtable for Life, we joined together in a lawsuit challenging the enactment of that bill.
Okay, and just to be clear now, I believe that you are absolutely right. I believe that the grassroots / Tea Party, if we have to put a title on it,
mm-hmm.
was very strongly opposed to China Hub, and probably was instrumental in getting it defeated. Now, it is my belief, after having talked to Dave some months back, and after having studied this thing, even though you and I, it's no surprise to anyone, come to this life issue from different angles. It is my opinion that the grassroots / Tea Party, if we have to put a label on it, would have also been very opposed to OSIRA, mostly because I believe grassroots / Tea Party, if we have to put a label on it, is opposed to any kind of government money, of our tax money, going to private research, going to private business in general. So it's as much my fault as anyone else's that the grassroots / Tea Party wasn't up in arms as they should have been, as much about Mosira as they were about China Hub.
That was our big challenge, was to educate people on this. And I'm trying to simplify it in my explanation to your listeners, and I hope their eyes aren't swimming in their head, because it's very complex how legislation, they say it's like making sausage, and that certainly is very, very true, and it's like trying to follow water downhill. It can just go off in all different directions, and you're trying to follow it, but our big challenge at Missouri Right to Life is to keep voters informed as to what's going on in the legislature day by day. And when you have issues as complicated as Mosira, which is tied into the whole 2006 Amendment 2 that, enshrined in the Constitution the right to clone and kill human embryos in Missouri, and it's a very complex issue. And it can get very confusing. So we try to educate people by explaining, our main goal is to prevent taxpayers from funding research that destroys human beings.
Right. And I understand that. And I want to take just a side note here to say that I not only understand but empathize with your position. And I want to throw open the hour of truth to you and Dave anytime you want to contact me that you have something like this, because we're going to go ahead and talk here in the next 15 or 20 minutes about how we should have every expectation that this thing is going to come back. Everything bad just comes back over and over and over again until they can get what they want.
Well, and your listeners may remember that the 2006 Amendment 2 battle, the pro-cloning forces and the pro, what I call the unethical research side, they had a tremendous amount of money. They spent $30 million to pass Amendment 2. And they did that in order to try to access taxpayer money, because what they were making legal, cloning and killing human embryos in Missouri, was not then illegal. We'd been working on legislation to ban human cloning in Missouri and to ban research that destroys human embryos, but we hadn't accomplished that. So what they said they wanted to do, basically the language was very deceptive. They said they wanted to ban human cloning, but in fact it enshrined a right to human cloning. And they spent a great deal of money to get this in the Constitution. So it's no surprise that they're now trying to cash in on that by getting into the taxpayer's wallet and getting our money to do that research.
Exactly. And that's, we're going to talk about Judge Green here in a minute, but that goes right to, I still remember myself walking through the mall parking lot or the shopping center parking lot or the grocery store parking lot and having these petition writers, signers, people come up to me and say, "Hey, would you sign this petition for Amendment 2? And I would always say, "Well, what?" As I always do when someone asks me to sign something, "Well, what's it about?" And they would say, "Well, it's about protecting life by banning cloning or something like that." Totally.
Yeah, they would always say, "Present it as a ban on human cloning."
Right. And we have to be very careful. We do. We all have to be very. Mosira is an example of this, and right to work is an example of this, and quote unquote prayer amendment is an example of this. We have a government from the Secretary of State through the legislature that likes to put titles on bills that are sometimes 180 out of what the bill is actually all about.
Well, and to explain to your readers, your listeners, why Amendment 2 was so deceptive, they said it banned human cloning. What the language of the amendment, which is now Section 38D of the Missouri Constitution, says that it bans the cloning of human embryos for the purposes of implantation to bring about a live birth.
Right.
That's all part of it. So it doesn't ban human cloning. It only bans cloning if you intend to implant a cloned embryo for the purposes of bringing about a live birth.
Exactly.
So you, You know, if you want to clone it and kill it, that's legal.
Yeah.
If you want to clone it and plant a human being and you don't intend to bring about a live birth, you can do that.
Right.
So, you know, it specifically enshrined the right to clone and kill human embryos. So how they promoted Amendment 2 was just a bold-faced lie.
Exactly. Okay. So then we get to this court case, and you had a favorable ruling just last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, last week the Supreme Court unanimously upheld the previous ruling by the Circuit County, the Cole County Circuit Court, Judge Green, in our appeal, in our challenge of MoSIRA. It was Judge Green in the Cole County Circuit Court who ruled in our favor and basically nullified MoSIRA. He ruled that it covered too many topics, that, you know, the two bills tied
right
together. And so he ruled that it was unconstitutional and threw it out on those grounds. He didn't rule on our life issues, but you know what? They got Al Capone for tax evasion. So
there you go.
You know, if he throws it out, I don't care why he throws it out. They threw it out, and that's great. And then, of course, the other side challenged it, and that took it to the Missouri Supreme Court. And what we got last week was a unanimous decision by the Missouri Supreme Court upholding Judge Green's decision, which nullified MoSIRA.
And what's your feeling now? Is that going to be the end of it? They won't go further with this appeal, will they? I mean, a unanimous ruling.
No, they can't go any further in the courts. What they're going to go back is to the legislature. So they're going to go back and try to get taxpayer funding in other ways. See, MoSIRA wasn't the first and only attempt that they've made to access taxpayer money. They've tried to access it a variety of ways. They've, you know, MoSIRA was kind of a direct funding of this research, but they've also tried to do it with tax credits. And so they have had various attempts to get tax credits or direct funding for this research in different economic development bills. And I don't know if they'll be as bold the next attempt as they were with MoSIRA. But we've already seen in current economic development bills that there'll be some language in there that give tax credit for like life science research or research on, you know, it says human life sciences. You have to be you have to parse every word in the bills to see if it could open this door. And so whenever we see that, we go in and ask them to put our protective language on, which just says that that can't be used for the unethical research or abortion or human cloning. But it, you know, there have been a variety of attempts and many different bills to do it, and we see it still now. There is a bill that was filed early in the session which hasn't gone anywhere, which basically uncoupled MoSIRA from Senate Bill 7 from Senate Bill 8. We may see that start to move now that the courts have ruled against MoSIRA. So we're really just, you know, we're watching every avenue so that we can, you know, be aware of every attempt and that we can work with our pro-life legislators who support our position to get the pro-life language inserted or to get the language that we're concerned about deleted from any legislation.
Yes, and to clear this up for any listeners who aren't familiar with it, the Missouri Constitution specifically prohibits any legislation from dealing with more than one subject. You can't put two things in one bill, basically, and that is what the Missouri Supreme Court ruled on. Now,
well, they can't be unrelated things, you know. If they're basically that's why, you know, the courts have to rule on it, because sometimes the legislators say, oh well, they're related, but the courts say no, they aren't. So
right.
It's called the Hammerschmidt rule, and I don't know what the etymology is of that, but it's called the Hammerschmidt rule that legislation has to deal with one subject.
I'll look that up. I'll know that by the time we talk next time, listeners. Hammerschmidt rules. But I do know what the origin of this was. The origin of this was to stop those last day kitchen sink bills where everybody just puts everything into a omnibus bill and they pass it and get everything that they've dawdled on for 6 months.
Kind of like something that passed at the federal level that we were told we had to pass it before we could see what was in it.
Exactly like that.
No.
So this Judge Green guy now, was that the basis of his ruling as well? Was the Hammerschmidt
ruling?
Yes,
that's my – now, you know, I have not read his specific ruling, but I do know that he upheld our appeal, and basically that's what our appeal was. So, you know, without reading the exact language of his, I'm, you know, very certain that that's what he ruled on, because that's what that was the basis of the appeal. And we know that that's what the Supreme Court ruled on.
Okay. MRL played an important part in getting this done. And you did you want to go ahead one more time and name your allies in that fight?
Well, the MOSIRA legislation was our challenge of MOSIRA. We were joined by an organization called Missouri Roundtable for Life,
uh-huh.
And they were very played a big role in fighting Amendment 2, and that's been their primary focus. They don't have a day-to-day presence in the Capitol, but they are very involved in legislation having to do with cloning and embryonic stem cell research. Also, Lawyers for Life. And then there were some citizens of Missouri who also joined in that lawsuit.
Okay. I want to just take a side note here real quick. Someone has texted in a question to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very outspoken as a general rule about my opposition to the government being involved at all, one way or the other, in the life question. But I want and so my listener wants to know why I'm being so friendly to you instead of more adversarial. I've been very clear in all of my years that the government's the forbidding by the Constitution of the government from being involved in this extends only to the federal government. The United States Constitution does not enumerate a power to the federal government to be involved in this issue. It does, however, in the 9th and 10th Amendment, in my opinion, allow any state to be as involved or uninvolved as they choose to be in this issue. And that is why I have no problems with Missouri Right to Life. Now, we may intellectually discuss this issue from different angles when it comes up for debate in the state, but I would never, ever contend that it is not the state's right to be as involved as it wants to be in this issue or any other issue that I say the federal government is forbidden from being involved in, like gun control. So that's the answer to that question there, listener. Okay, so Judge Green has been a friend of ours for everything I've ever followed him on, and he slapped down the Secretary of State on the ballot language fight that the Missouri Grassroots Coalition was very, very involved in over, and I don't even remember what it was now. It was this silly it was the funding of Obamacare thing. We applaud Judge Green for that. We applaud the Missouri State Supreme Court for that. And we applaud Missouri Right to Life for taking that all the way as far as it went to get a favorable ruling on that. We talked to Dave, as I said, back when it was a thing. And so we've kind of been following it, and I was overjoyed to hear the other day on the news that the Missouri State Supreme Court had so ruled. We're going to come back after the break. We're talking with Pam. Pam, is it Fichter?
Fichter, uh-huh. The C-H like a K. Fichter,
okay.
Uh-huh.
Fichter. With Pam Fichter, president of Missouri Right to Life, about the news events of the week. We're going to continue that discussion when we come back about where we go from here. This is Dave. You're on the Hour of Truth. It's Monday night, the 25th of April.
Yeah. Well, you talk if you haven't got a brain.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The late, great Patrick Henry. What a man. What a man. We're back. This is Dave. This is the Hour of Truth. I'm with Pam Fichter, president of Missouri Right to Life. We've been talking for the last half hour about Mosira and the history and the recent ruling by the Supreme Court that threw out Mosira. We've been talking about Missouri Right to Life's activity in that. And now we're going to ask Pam what we should be looking for. We know, as we said in the last segment, that this is going to come back just like bad lottery tickets or bad lottery votes and bad gun bills and bad everything just tends to bad pharmacy prescription bills tend to come back over and over and over again until somebody gets their way. What should we be looking for? What should we do? What can people do to help you out?
Well, we really encourage people to go to our website at www.missourilife.org. Check out our legislative updates. Check out what's going on in Missouri there. Also, they can sign up to receive our weekly Lifeline emails, which gives a week-to-week update on life issues in Missouri and around the country. We send out action alerts and press releases. We also encourage people to become members of Missouri Right to Life. They can join online, or there's a number that they could call and join my phone if they want. We need their support, and we really encourage people to join Missouri Right to Life.
Does it cost anything to join?
It's $25 a year to join Missouri Right to Life.
Okay. So there it is, folks. And say that website one more time, Pam.
It's www.missourilife.org.
Okay. Would you like to take a moment to or not? It's up to you. I'm dropping this on you without having told you that it was coming. So if not, just say so. Would you like to drop on us the names of some of the legislatures in Jefferson City who are particularly friendly to you guys?
Well, I can tell you one of the first bills to pass this year was a tax credit we liked, which was for pregnancy resource centers. And those facilities save lives and give women real choices every single day. And this kind of a benevolent tax credit is very important to their operations. And that passed this year thanks to some folks down in your area, Bob Dixon in the Senate from the Springfield area.
Yeah, he's my guy.
Ron Richards from the Joplin area. Those were the Senate sponsors of that legislation. And the handler of it in the House was Eric Burleson, who's also from the Springfield area.
Yeah, he's also.
So, we have some great folks in your area who have been very supportive. Now, that legislation has passed both chambers and has now gone to the governor's desk. So we're awaiting his decision on that. But that's kind of a good way to start the legislative session for us, was to get that kind of help for people who are on a day-to-day basis working to give women real choices and save babies every day. Other legislation that we're following, our primary legislation this year is a proactive measure because it's to prevent a process that really isn't happening in Missouri yet, but it's happening in surrounding states. And it's a procedure called webcam abortions or telemed abortions. And what happens with this procedure is that a mother sits in front of a computer monitor instead of in front of a doctor in person. And she communicates with the abortionist via the computer, like with the Skype technology. Instead of being one-on-one in the room with the physician, she's with a computer monitor. And at the end of this session, there is a mechanism that is triggered that dispenses the abortion drug RU486. And where we have seen this procedure implemented, they've seen, like in Iowa, they've seen abortion clinics or dispensaries springing up in little strip malls across the state. And so we are, as a proactive measure, are trying to prevent that by regulating the dispensing of RU486 and requiring that there must be an interaction with a doctor. So this legislation, right now, we have a House sponsor and a Senate sponsor that has not made it out of both of those chamber committees yet and been scheduled for a floor vote. But now that we're back after spring break, we hope that legislation will start to move.
So I'm not mistaken, am I, in the fact that RU486 is not a substance that requires a prescription under the Federal Controlled Substances Act?
Oh, it does. It requires the doctor prescribing it, but they can do that via this webcam.
I see.
The technology of it and the way it is set up in the states where it is being implemented, it is legal to dispense it the way they're dispensing it. And so we're trying to put some safeguards on there that would require that a mother has an opportunity to be with a doctor when that drug is dispensed. And it's, you know, we're talking about a drug to kill an unborn child, but it's also killed women who've taken it, because if it requires very close monitoring. It's a very potent drug that can cause her tremendous complications and hemorrhaging, and so women have died from taking RU486.
Wow, I'm not as familiar with RU486 as I should be. I know, but then I can't be familiar with everything, I guess. And and that is passing now. That is where, in the House or Senate?
Well, there's two versions. There's the House bill has passed the committee and gone to the calendar for the floor debate, and the Senate bill is not out of committee yet. The Senate bill is sponsored by Senator Wayne Wallingford, who's from down the Cape Girardeau area, and his legislation has not moved out of committee yet. And on the House side, there's 115 co-sponsors.
Wow.
In the House side, and so it has strong legislative support, and it has been voted out of committee.
Well,
so
yeah.
That it has moved there out of committee, but things always move slower in the Senate. But we're hopeful and that we're going to be able to get that moving in the Senate now that spring break is over with.
Well, that sounds good. What else is going on out there?
Well, Speaker Tim Jones has introduced legislation called the Rights of Conscience. This is HB 457. And what this legislation does is it protects people in the medical field, in the pharmaceutical field, in a field of research, from being compelled to participate in activities that violate their conscience. And so this is, certainly with what we've seen happen with the at the federal level, with the mandates coming down from the Health and Human Services, it's something that Missouri citizens are very much attuned to, is the violations of our conscience rights that we see happening at so many levels. And this would give Missouri doctors and nurses and other people involved in any kind of medical field or research, the protection of the law in deferring to their own conscience in not being compelled to do something that would violate their conscience.
So basically, in this law, if I am, just to be clear, if I work in a pharmacy, I'm a pharmacist, and the owner of the pharmacy says you have to prescribe, you have to fill this prescription, I can say no, I'm sorry, I that's against my conscience, and he can't fire me.
That's right. That's right. And the insurance companies or the government cannot compel a particular pharmacy to dispense particular pharmaceuticals or you know, anything that would violate their conscience as well, because it happens with businesses as well as with individuals.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. You got anything else for us?
Well, you know, again, we're following a quite a bit of legislation. There is also legislation that would ban abortion for sex selection. You know, we know that more little girls are aborted than little boys. There are some cultures that prefer having a male child instead of a female child, and so we see that there are more little girls being aborted than little boys. We don't think that being a girl should be a death sentence. And so there's legislation that would ban sex selection abortion. We have legislation that would require that the abortion facility perform the ultrasound and show the mother the ultrasound. We passed an ultrasound law a couple of years ago that requires that they offer it to her, but this legislation tightens that and says that they must show it to her. Because, you know, their way of offering it might be something like, well, you don't want to see this, do you?
Right, exactly.
You know, so...
The law says I have to offer this to you. Do you want it or not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be bothered with this. It'll only upset you.
Exactly.
So sign off here that we offered it to you and
right.
Let's move on. It's like, you know, don't look at the man behind the curtain here. So, but, you know, and the ultrasound, you know, we call that a, you know, an audition for life, because it truly is a picture into the womb. And we know that the overwhelming majority of women who have view an ultrasound choose life for their child. So the ultrasound legislation is a very potent life-saving legislation. So. But another thing that we have in June 15th in Jefferson City, we have our biannual statewide meeting for Missouri Right to Life members, leaders, anyone interested in what's going on with the life issue in Missouri. And so it's an open invitation to anyone who wants to know more about what's going on with life issues in Missouri to come to Jefferson City that day. The meeting starts at 10 o'clock, and we'll be having the details of that on our website very soon. And we've been sending out reminders of it on our email. So any of your listeners who would like to learn more about that, we encourage them to visit our website regularly and sign up for the emails and join us in Jefferson City on June 15th.
Okay. Great. Thanks for coming. I want to extend one more time to you and to Dave and to your organization a hand. You reach out to us. I mean, I know that educating voters is the number one challenge for any group that cares about an issue or changing things or affecting government. And so I would like you to use us as a resource. We in the grassroots, we in Missouri Grassroots Coalition, the listeners of this show, share with you a lot of values. And quite frankly, you know, the reason that groups like you and Gretchen Logue, the education specialist that we use a lot, and on and on. I could just go on with names of people who follow single issues are so important is because most of our listeners are, you know, grocery store clerks or carpenters, and you know, we don't have time. They don't have time to come home every night and see what's happened in the legislature today and what's moving and what's not moving. So it's important to have one or two or three central points where these folks can come and hear from you and the education people and the gun people and the, you know, the faith people and all of the other things to get a kind of coalesced feeling for what's going on out there. And so I want to say our door is open to you. Anytime that you see something come up that you think needs to get disseminated, you email me, you call me, and we'll get either myself or Cynthia Davis, who's on Tuesday nights, Lisa Payne Nager, who's on Wednesday nights, Kevin Harnett, who's on Thursday nights. Any one of us would be glad to give you the time you need to get on and let people know this issue is coming up. Let's get a hold of our legislature. Let's get this thing moving. Let's get some action here, or let's stop some action here.
Well, I appreciate that so much, David. It's a great opportunity to be on with you this evening and be able to communicate our concerns and our activities to your listeners. And again, thank you so very much, and we'll certainly take advantage of your generous offer.
Sure, and come back anytime. You're welcome. Dave's welcome, and we want to thank you for tonight. One more time, tell people the name of your website and how to get a hold of you.
Well, we're Missouri Right to Life. We're the only affiliate of National Right to Life. Our website is MissouriLife.org. We have chapters and throughout the state. We invite people to become a member of Missouri Right to Life and to get involved in a local chapter to keep the pro-life issue, to preserve our fundamental right to life, or to restore our fundamental right to life to all of our citizens, born and unborn.
So if we go to MissouriLife.org, can we find a point of contact for our local chapter?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can. And there's our state offices there, too. So if you have any questions about contacting any local people, you can call us, and we'll put you in touch with the right people. We do have some names listed on the website, but not all of them. But our phone number is definitely on there that you can call our office, 573-635-5110. And we'll put you in touch with chapter people in your region.
Say that phone number one more time so people who were running for a pin can write it down.
573-635-5110.
635-5110, MissouriLife.org. This is Pam Fichter. She's the president of Missouri Life, Missouri Right to Life, and she's been very generous with her time tonight. Thank you for coming, Pam.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We look forward to having you again. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk more about Right to Work. We thank Pam for her time, and this is Dave. This is the Hour of Truth. We'll be right back.
There's a conflict in every human heart between the rational and the irrational, between good and evil. Good does not always triumph. Sometimes the dark side overcomes what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Okay, we're back. We're ready to talk about right to work. We had a little downtime there. I hope you didn't all leave. We're at 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. This Secret Santa thing is something that that we all need to be thinking about. Christmas seems like a long way away. But I want you all to remember how hard it is for you to give, and know how hard it is for us to come and beg for money in November and December. So we start early every year. We get the old Secret Santa going as early as possible so that you can send a couple of bucks in as it's easier for you. MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. I'm not going to belabor it tonight. Click on the Secret Santa button. When you get to the Secret Santa page, read all about it. Click on the PayPal button and send us a dollar or two to help with Secret Santa. 100% of the proceeds of Secret Santa go to the cause of buying toys for children in need at Christmas time. Okay, right to work is where we are. I extended the invitation to several people to come along and debate this tonight. None of them took us up on it, and so we're just going to carry on with the truth about right to work. Right to work is one of those things that I was talking to Pam about earlier in the show, where someone has taken and titled a bill into something that it really isn't. You have and have never been deprived of a right to work in the state of Missouri. There are people where you live who want to hire you. You have a right to work. You don't have a right to go into a guy's place of business and say, excuse me, I am going to work with you, for you, and here are the conditions of that employment. That's not a right that you have by any means. There are those who want to contend that right to work, as written, as currently written in the legislature, is an anti-union bill. They hate the union for some reason. Either they've been hurt by the union, somebody they know and love has been hurt by the union, they've heard bad things about the union is communist, the union is socialist, the union is a bunch of thugs, the union. Quite frankly, unions in and of themselves are not bad things. They just aren't. In fact, Henry Ford hired thugs with baseball bats and clubs to go in and beat the hell out of striking workers and was backed by the government in doing so. So the government hasn't always been pro-union. Some good many, many years ago, there would have been this candle maker. He was a great candle maker. He was the best candle maker going. There was no better candle maker in all of New England. And he had built up a business large enough that he was able to hire the 20 best journeyman candle makers in all of the land. And they worked for him, and they made good candles, and his business was booming. But he wasn't a very good boss. He didn't pay very well. And he was kind of Scroogey. He didn't give any holidays off. He was open every day, making them candles. And he didn't give his employees any time to eat lunch. They worked. Sometimes they were able to grab an Oreo cookie as they sat by the wax vats, but sometimes they didn't get anything to eat. And so this went on for some years, and the candle maker kept getting richer and richer and doing more and more business, and the people who worked for him actually making the candles were getting grumpier and grumpier. And one day they all got together and said, "Listen, you know, we're the 20 best candle makers in all of New England, and we need to get together and go to this guy and let him know that we think we're worth a little more." And so they did. They had a meeting with the guy, and they said, "Okay, here's what it's going to be. You know, we want 12 cents more an hour, and we want holidays off, and we want an hour for lunch." And the old candle maker went home and thought about this, and what he thought about was, you know, this is going to cost me some money. 12 cents an hour times 20 candle makers, and an hour of productivity a day lost, and all those days off, that's going to cost me a bit of money, he said. But then again, you know, I've got the 20 best candle makers in New England, and I'm making a lot of money because I have the 20 best candle makers in New England. My product is top notch, and I really need to hold on to these 20 great candle makers. So he came back to him, and he said, "Listen, I'll give you the 12 cents, and I'll give you a half hour for lunch, and I'll give you Christmas and Thanksgiving off, but that's it." And they said, "Okay." And the first union in the United States was born. Candlemakers Local 100. And that was a good thing. Who would say that was not a good thing? Is there anybody out there who would say that what just happened is not good? It was a good thing for the candle maker. It was a good thing for the employees. It was a good thing for the factory owner. It was a good thing for the journeyman candle makers. It was a good thing for everybody. They got a little bit. He got a little bit. They made an agreement. Collective bargaining is not a bad thing. Unions are not bad things. Now, it's going to get bad because a couple of years later, I mean, things went on well, and the candle maker kept doing better and better, and the candle maker workers were a little bit happier. But a couple of years later, they all got together, and they went back to the old candle maker, and they said, "Listen, you know, thank you very much for making a deal with us 2 years ago, and here's what we'd like now. We'd like 12 more cents an hour, and we'd like to add 4th of July and Labor Day to those holidays that we get off paid, and we'd like you to pay all our doctor bills." Well, the candle maker went home, and he thought about that, and he thought, "Well, you know, these are the 20 best candle makers in New England, and boy, I'm doing an awful good business because they are the best. But golly gee, there comes a time when keeping these 20 candle makers just isn't worth what they're asking me to pay." And so he went back to him and he said, "Listen, you asked for 12 cents an hour. I'll give you 15 cents an hour. And I'll give you the two holidays, but this pay my doctor bill thing is a deal breaker. I just can't do that. It'll cost me too much money. You're going to have to pay your own doctor bills." And they said, "Well, that's it. You know, we're not going to work here tomorrow. We're going to sit out on the front lawn and we're going to just sit there every day telling people what a schmuck you are and encouraging them to go somewhere else and buy candles because you're such a bad guy until you agree to pay our doctor bills. In fact, I'll tell you what, we'll just sit out there and tell people you're a bad guy until you agree to pay half our doctor bills. So there we are, the 15 cents you offered us, plus the extra two holidays, and all you have to pay is half our doctor bills. And he said, I'm not going near the doctor bills. So the next morning, they started sitting on the front lawn and telling people what a schmuck he was. And he said, that's it, you're fired. Get off my lawn, and I'll hire 20 more people and pay whatever it takes to bring them up to speed and make them as good as you were. And it'll cost me a little business for the next 3 years, but I'll be back. Huh. Well, the candle makers were a little bit disgruntled by this. They really thought the guy would just cave in. So they went to their local lawmakers and they said, listen, we need it. We have a right to work. We have a right to work. The lawmaker said, well, yeah, you do. You have a right to work. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pass a law and we're going to call it a right to work law. And we're going to say that anyone who goes on strike after or during a good faith negotiation with their employer, they can't be fired. The employer has to hold their jobs. He can't fire them for going on strike. And what we'll do is we will even, as the government, we'll offer arbitrators to come in and arbitrate between the two parties and help make a deal. But he can't fire you. And that's when it became bad. And listen, watch what's going on here. Still at this point, the union of candle makers is not in and of itself a good or bad thing. The government intervention is a bad thing. And this goes on and gets worse and worse until we get to where we're at today. To where we're at today, where we have people who call themselves conservative, who call themselves lovers of liberty, who are willing to say, in order to keep the government from tromping on people's liberty, we are going to make a law that says, candle maker, you can't restrict hiring based on whether a person is a member of the union or not. Doesn't say anything to the union that they think is bad. It doesn't say anything to the government that is causing all this problem with its heavy-handed dealing with business in favor of the union. It doesn't say anything to anybody that's causing the problems. All it speaks to is the candle maker. All it says is, candle maker, you can't decide whether you're going to hire union people or not. You can't decide that you aren't going to hire union people. You can't decide that you are going to hire union people. You just have to hire people without even considering whether they're in the union or not. You have to hire people with no consideration for things that are important to you. You might as well come to the candle maker and say, you have to hire people without any consideration for whether they can make candles, without any consideration for whether they're willing to work before or after sunset. And we'll call this piece of legislation right to work, as though someone didn't have a right to work, and we, the great and glorious government, are granting to them a right to work. You got a thought on that? Anybody out there got a thought on that? Anybody out there that has ever been told they don't have a right to work? I don't hear the phone lines ringing. So it is once again imperative to understand that if you are going to be intellectually honest and contend that you love liberty, then you have to say this is bad news. You write any other kind of law you want to. I wouldn't call it right to work because it isn't a right to work, but call it an employer welfare law. Call it whatever you want to call it. Call it HB 1774 and leave it at that, okay? But write me a law that says no employer can be forced by the government or the union to hire with respect to union membership. That's a great law. You shouldn't need a law like that. I mean, it should just stand to reason that no employer can be forced to or prohibited from considering union membership when he or she hires. Listen, that no employer can be required to nor prohibited from considering union membership when hiring. Now that sounds like a freedom law. That sounds like a liberty law. That sounds like a law that, given the understanding of what the United States of America stands for, shouldn't have to be a law. Should just go without saying. But it doesn't, of course, because the federal government has stuck their wee-wee in places where it doesn't belong. And so instead of growing the cojones at the state level to say to the federal government, no, we're not doing that in the state of Missouri. Instead, we attack the small businessman. And we call that an anti-union law. How can you say, tell me, someone call and tell me how you can say you are a lover of liberty and back a law like that? Now, why are we going on and on about this? This is the second week in a row we've talked about this, and I've been having this discussion with people all week long who, literally all week long, who have nothing more to say about it than, I'm a communist, I love unions, I'm a socialist Hittite Philistine who wants people to starve because I love liberty. They don't have any good reason for this. They don't have any good reason for needing this legislation. They don't have any valid purpose for it, except I hate the union. I know XYZ who was in the union, and he got shafted. Once the union gets their mitts into you, they never let you go. The union bosses are communists. The union takes union dues and buys Democrats. The union this and the union that. So let's back this law that does nothing, nothing to the union, that hurts the union in no way at all, that does nothing to stifle any of the things they complain about union-wise, that does nothing but deprive some poor little shop owner of the liberty that is God-given to him of deciding who he's going to hire and who he's not going to hire based on any criteria he or she chooses. Why are we going on and on about this? The reason we're going on and on about this is because I've been told that this thing's dead. And I have further been told that you, the voters, are going to be, that the House and Senate, in their usual cowardly way, are not going to stand up like they should and say, no, this is bad. They're going to say, let the voters decide. Let's renege on our obligation to stand up for liberty, to stand up for the Constitution, to stand up for what's right and wrong. Let's renege on our responsibility to do that, and let's send this to the voters so they can make the wrong choice. And so you are going to have to decide, are you for liberty or are you not? That's why we keep going on about this.
They told me that you had gone totally insane. And that your methods were unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
I don't see any method at all.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
Danger. The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Well, we're back now. We had a little studio problem earlier in the broadcast. I hope you didn't tune out. I hope you didn't think the drones had come. The drones are coming. So one Monday night, if you turn on your radio and I'm not here, check it out. See if the drones have come after us. We're on a government hit list here, you and me. Anybody who believes that right to work is bad, we've got to be on a government hit list because we believe in the Constitution and we believe in right and wrong. Listen, Monday nights, as always, is the hour of truth. We'll carry on next Monday night, provided we're droneless. Tuesday night, though, is great also. Cynthia Davis, our friend, comes along and brings on Homefront. Cynthia talks about traditional values and how traditional values are being trampled on by the government. She's been active in Missouri government, so she talks a lot more specifically about Missouri than the federal government, but she talks about danger to the traditional values of conservatism. And then on Wednesdays, along comes our great friend Lisa Payne Nager. She's kind of the education expert. She's branched off into some other areas, some areas that have to do with religious freedom and things like that. It's a great show. It's called The Culture Vigilante. One of these nights I'll get Lisa back on here and she can give us a preview of what's coming up and a little insight into what she's all about over there again. Then Thursday, our great friend Kevin Harded is back now from his vacation. And he'll be along with his hillbilly logic, some great down-to-earth libertarian viewpoints. Kevin's a good libertarian friend of mine, and he believes that, as I do, that intellectual honesty is pretty much missing on both sides of the political spectrum, that the only real difference between Republicans and Democrats in this point of time is the brand of big government that they want. They each want their own big government. I was talking to someone just today about the Republican Party, and I'm going to tell you, it is my opinion that the Republican Party is dead. Is gone, is not coming back, will not be resurrected. I challenge my friends who are or were Republicans to accept that and maybe accept it willingly and gladly and divorce themselves from this Republican regime of elites that have already begun drafting Jeb Bush for the next run at the presidency. You want to talk about another loser? And join the growing middle of unaffiliated people. You know, the best hope for a viable, liberty-loving third party is going to come in the next 4 years. And is going to come when an equal number of disillusioned Democrats divorce their party as disillusioned Republicans, because that's going to happen. There are some, I know you find this hard to believe, but there are some Democrats who still believe in America. They may believe in a slightly different America than you, but if you'll just look out your window, it's not that different. You know, you've been tricked into thinking it's that different if you are at all close to a liberty-loving Republican. If you are, I heard someone say, the libertarian wing of the Republican Party. You know, you've been tricked into thinking they're that different because they've been tricked into thinking that life is an issue, and you've been tricked into thinking that life is an issue. They've been tricked into thinking that Obamacare is an issue, and you've been tricked into thinking that Obamacare is an issue. They've been tricked into thinking that gay is an issue, and you've been tricked into thinking that gay is an issue, and none of those are issues. And so, because you've both been tricked into thinking that those are issues, they make you seem farther apart. You know, Democrats who sometimes go a little overboard, and I'm talking about liberty-loving, America-loving, patriotic Democrats who occasionally go a little bit overboard with their love of food stamps and with their love of welfare and with their love of Social Security, sometimes go a little overboard with those things. Those people care about their kids and their family, and those people do understand that there's nothing more valuable to the future of their children than liberty. Sometimes they get a little confused as to what that means, but they're not given to the tyranny that they see. And when those people divorce themselves from that party and join the people who have divorced themselves from the Republican Party, as these two parties drive themselves to extreme over non-issues like like abortion and marriage, then we'll have a viable chance at a third party. Now, these Democrats are going to start falling off. They're going to start falling off of their party beginning at the midterm election. And at the beginning of 2014, when the real true cost of Obamanomics begins hitting every one of their pocketbooks, they're going to start falling off like flies. I heard an interesting statistic today. I meant to look this up and validate it, but I didn't do so. 2 in 5 people still do not realize that what Obama gave them is not insurance. He didn't give them insurance. 3 of 5 people still believe that what Obamacare does is insure them. 3 in 5 people. What that means is that they don't get to this day that Obamacare is going to cost them a shitload of money. That they are now not insured, but required at the point of a gun to go out and buy insurance or pay a stiff fine. They don't get it still. So when 2014 rolls around, and they're suddenly told that, A, they only get 29 hours a week, and B, they have to go buy insurance, or C, they're going to pay a big fine, you're going to see people leaving the Democratic Party by the millions. So be ready. Be ready, my friends, who are ready to leave the Republican Party behind like the dinosaur that it is. Be ready to join with these folks and form a viable, liberty-loving third party. Now, when I say that it's going to start at the midterm, one of the big issues at the midterm is going to be drugs. Or guns, I'm sorry, not drugs. One of the big issues at the midterm is going to be religious freedom. Because the Obama mandates are going to start hitting before the midterms come around. So you're going to have states like Pennsylvania and Ohio and Colorado and Utah where people still, as the president said, cling to their guns and religion, who are going to start saying, oh man, wait a minute, this is too much. And you're going to have a chance, finally, to – now, will that third party hold on to the name of the old franchise? Not if they're smart. Not if they're smart, because Republican, the word, has grown so stale in people's mouths with all of this crap that goes on. You know, I can't help but think of the guy from my part of the country, Billy Long. You know, I have no respect for John McCain. I certainly have no respect for Claire McCaskill. But I have less respect for someone like Billy Long or Roy Blunt. At least Claire McCaskill and John McCain stand up there and say, I'm a socialist, and I think the government ought to come stomp on your liberty. You know, if you don't like it, don't vote for me. But I think that America ought to be more like the Soviet Union than like that crazy thing that Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson talked about back there. Okay? I really think that you'd ought to be working for the government rather than the government working for you. At least those people come out and say that, you know? Blunt and Long, they put on the coattails and the tuxedos of the Tea Party, and they talk about liberty and they talk about freedom, and then they go vote to fund Obamacare. You know, they talk about liberty and they talk about freedom, and then they go and vote for the NDAA and the drones. That's the Republican Party that's leaving a taste in people's mouths that will never now go away. That is the people that have led the Republican Party to the point where it cannot ever, ever be a viable party again, period. It's done. It's finished. It's over. So there it is. I said it. I expect to hear lots of bitterness from my friends in the next week or so over having said this, because some of them still believe they can save the Republic. There's this guy who comes around every day talking about he's formed this Tea Party that's really going to save the Republicans. There's these state Tea Parties that are going to join with this national Tea Party, and they're going to have this legislative agenda. And what it's going to do is save the Republican Party. You're not going to save the Republican Party. The Republican Party is showing you right now. I mean, you've got the prince of the Republican Party wandering around bad-mouthing people who believe in the Constitution. You've got a Republican presidential candidate, a past Republican presidential candidate, running around saying that people who stand up for the Constitution and stand up for what the founders believed in are nutso. You're not saving that party. It's gone. I hope that you folks see that in time to save this country. Quit trying to save your damn party, and let's save this country together. Tomorrow night is Homefront. Wednesday night is Culture Vigilante. Thursday night is The Hillbilly. We'll be back next Monday night with something exciting, something fun, and something true, because this is the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. Good night. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.